If you haven't picked up on it yet, we are in a mode of thanksgiving, as such we should be, not only in this season, but really all the time. And we're going to continue to focus on the importance of having a grateful heart this morning. I want to call your attention to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 6 and 7 specifically. Before we read those couple of verses, though, it'd be good to take note of the setting for these words of the Apostle Paul. He's not surrounded by family and friends sitting at a table spread with a sumptuous feast. We're thankful at times like that, right? We are, and we look forward to Thanksgiving dinner with families. We pray that'll be possible this year for people. But that's not the setting for him. Neither is he bowing at the side of a comfy bed in a cozy house. No. He's not even gathered with brothers and sisters in a church assembly. Or is he in a beautiful setting outside, you know, with the birds singing and the sun shining and the butterflies? No. That's not where he is. Where is he? He's in prison. Scholars debate on whether or not it was solitary confinement in a cell or under house arrest. Don't know. But Paul's own words in this letter indicate that he thought he might very well die in that prison, that he might not ever be released. Now, he's willing to accept that possibility. He is. He's ready and willing to accept that. He just wants it to glorify Jesus if that's the case. Truth is, see, that the setting that he is in right here, right then, when he writes these words, it's not a good place, as we call it, by any of our standards of judgment. Then verse 6 of Philippians 4, this is what he says. Do not be anxious about anything. Now he's telling the Philippians at their church, the members of the church there, don't be anxious about anything. But here he is in a situation where wouldn't you think he'd be anxious? It's almost as if he's preaching to himself. We looked at the passage in Lamentations where Jeremiah did some, personal pep talk for himself. And it seems like he may be doing that a bit here too. As he's telling others what they need to do, he's recognizing the need for him to do that too. Don't be anxious about anything, he says, but in everything or in every situation, by prayer and petition, hear this, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, I have tended over the years to emphasize that the antidote to anxiety, according to this verse, may be prayer. You know, if you're anxious, what's he say? Don't be anxious. Pray. Pray. Offer prayers and petitions. And certainly that is an avenue for us to find the help that we need when we're anxious, when we're troubled. But I think I've overlooked something here. The clear indication that what can also stifle a heart of gratitude is anxiety. Because he says, do it with thankfulness. How many of you know that it's hard to be grateful, thankful when you're anxious, when you're worried, when you're overwrought about something? There's a lot of anxiety in our community today, isn't there? We've seen it among all people, but you know what? One of the things that's really troubled my wife and I a bit is that we've seen so many children, little children, who are nervous and insecure about things that they shouldn't even have a worry in the world about. What's going on? Where's that anxiety coming from? Well, let me tell you something. Anxiety is highly contagious. Who are they catching it from? Who are they spending time with? Who are they observing? What are they witnessing? What are they seeing? Think on it. Could it be their own parents? Their grandparents? Their teachers? Their preachers? Who? What is it? Who is it that might be exemplifying for them this spirit of anxiety. Because a lot of people are anxious, are they not? People are worried that they're going to get the virus. Others are afraid they'll get it and they'll give it to somebody else. Others are worried that it's one of the plagues that will usher in Armageddon. Others are worried that it's just a hoax where the government's trying to control us somehow. They're worried about that. They're afraid they'll lose their freedom somehow in this. Some are afraid there won't be a vaccine available in time for them or for their families, their loved ones. Others are worried that whatever vaccine might be offered to combat the virus might contain something that may somehow even be more harmful. Many are anxious about our economy. All that they've worked for and saved up for, well, it could be in jeopardy. Some are worried about the foundations of our country, our very nation, that it might be destroyed. Others are afraid that, well, you know what? Nothing's going to change. They've been hoping for change, something to change, and they're afraid that no matter who is in office, no matter who is in control, nothing's going to change. Promises won't be kept. Things won't change. So much anxiety, so much worry, so much concern. And in all of that, what we don't hear enough of is gratitude for what we have and the blessings that we enjoy. Now, you know, those are things that, well, maybe should be causing us some concern. But I want to tell you that millions of other people have more on their plate than the issues we talked about there. Anxiety fills their hearts not over what could be or might be, or even what they're convinced will be, but they're dealing with something right now in the present. They're anxious over what is. What is? Either they or one of their loved ones is in the hospital with COVID, and they're not doing well. Or someone in their family, or they personally have received some other diagnosis of an advanced disease or cancer that's horrible, and it causes them reason to pause and really be anxious. Some have already lost their job and don't know if or when they're going to find another one. The divorce papers arrived in the mail for someone this week. Or that notice that their application for Social Security disability was denied yet again. A significant other has been caught cheating. Something damaging in someone's own personal life that's long been hidden under wraps has either recently come to light or they're afraid that it's about to. So many things that aren't might-be's, maybe's, are happening with people right now. Whatever the case, whatever someone might be anxious about, whatever you might be anxious about, worried about, fearful about, I have one word in response. You ready? Stop. Stop. Now, I don't mean to be insensitive, but I do want to be helpful. Pause. Take a deep breath. Ever need to do that? And you ever find the benefit in doing that? I mean, do any of you know anyone who's ever been hyperventilating? They've been so anxious, so overwrought, you know, and you try to get them to breathe in the bag, right? Take some, but breathing, breathe. Take some deep breaths. Take a deep breath right now. Take another. Wow. Stop. Pause. Take a breath. You know what? Worrying isn't helping. And it can't. Worrying can't help any situation. I mean, as Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 25 and following, many of you familiar with the text, very familiar. He says, I tell you in verse 25, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field are growing and they don't labor or spin? Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, won't he much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Earlier in this very chapter, Matthew 6, before Jesus again called them to pray with him, taught them the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, he said, you know, you don't need to babble on like pagans do, because the Lord knows what you have need of already. But still, he says, go ahead and ask for it. Ask for it. Ask for it. Now, verse 33 is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. I have very many. But that's where he says, but seek first his kingdom. Whose kingdom? Our Heavenly Father's kingdom. And his righteousness. And all of these things. What things? All the things you need will be given to you as well. Verse 34, therefore do not worry. How many times are you going to say that, Jesus? Until we get it. Until we get it. He says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, which kind of speaks to what I was talking about earlier. So many people are borrowing trouble and worry about what might be, what could be, what might happen. When, you know what, there's trouble and concerns today. And today, remember again in that wonderful Lord's Prayer, give us this day what? Bread for a month? Bread for a year? What was it? Give us our daily. Give us what we need for today. 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 Now, I certainly believe in this text. A big issue here is trust, isn't it? Trusting God to provide. And being thankful for what he's already provided and promises to provide. So very, very important. Jesus saying worry won't add an inch to our stature or an hour to our life or a hair to our heads. If it could, we'd all live forever as long-haired giants. Instead, sometimes, even we who say we trust him, believe in him, are stooped over, weak, and balding because of worry. Because of worry. Because of anxiety. So if worry won't help, then what in the world will? As we've already said, and as Paul has said, pray. Pray. Pray to the Father. Give him those worries. Lay them at his feet. Trust him. But also, once again, as I said, I've overlooked this for so long. Anxiety robs us of gratitude. But gratitude can dispel our anxiety. It can. The question is which are we going to feed? Our anxiety or our gratitude? Which are we going to give attention to? Psychologists say gratitude, powerfully reduces intrusive negative thoughts. Practicing gratitude helps us to renew our minds, helps us to perceive and focus upon the good things in our lives. Yet when we're left to ourselves, we tend to gravitate towards pessimism. Gratitude helps us not only to survive, but to thrive. It enables us to enjoy life to the fullest. That's a quote from a well-known psychologist. But I think Jesus said something in John 10:10 about him coming, right, as the way, the truth, and life, as the good shepherd, the one we can depend upon for our daily needs, if we'll listen to him and follow him, if we'll depend upon him, he says, I come to give you life to the full. To the full. The full extent, the greatest fulfilling life you could have. I'm grateful for the good shepherd, aren't you? That he cares for his sheep. Despite the increase in stress that this pandemic has caused, a recent study reveals that 75% of those surveyed report being more grateful for their health, their relationships, their jobs, and their homes than they were before. And this is true of all ages and ethnicities. But particularly, it was displayed in those in their 50s and their 60s. Now, there was no reason given for that. It's just a fact. Well, I wonder why. Maybe it's because they've lived life a bit. They've experienced life a bit. They've been through some difficult times before. They've been through some hardships. And that's true also of people in their 70s and 80s, by the way. And 90s. I've talked with people in my life who lived through the Depression. And when we have a little bit of a slowdown in our economy, and I ask, are you concerned about that? Are you kidding? No, not at all. Not at all. So maybe that's one of the reasons. Another unforeseen, if you call it silver lining, of this pandemic is that over 2/3 of those surveyed have been so inspired by the acts of giving and kindness shown by others during this time that they've been moved to donate and volunteer to help others, even when they had not previously done so. Actual donors to charitable organizations has increased by 33% since COVID-19. Wow. Is there something to be thankful for in the midst of this chaos? A lot more maybe than we realize. A lot more. And I believe that it's actually caused many of us to think about things that we were taking for granted. Right? That maybe we weren't being grateful enough for. And now we're moved to say, oh Lord, please, please, restore things as they were. I'll never take that for granted again, right? I'm so grateful for what I had, what I was able to enjoy. And I want to be thankful for what I can enjoy still and for what I still have. But Lord, help me to never, never, ever take the things for granted that you've blessed me with. One of the hardest jobs that I have sometimes in counseling is to convince anxious people that their worries are unfounded. Especially when their insecurities are deeply internalized. And they're rooted really in their subconscious. It's not that they choose to be worrywarts. It's like they can't help themselves. They just can't seem to help themselves. So we need to be very cautious and careful about, criticizing someone or making them feel condemned or self-condemned if they are prone to worry. We need to be willing, though, to help them, comfort them, encourage them, point them to the blessings that they have and the security that they have in Jesus. We need to be able to do that. Thoughts precede feelings. And those feelings then, with those thoughts coupled, can lead to very destructive behaviors. Especially when we're anxious, overly anxious. We need to think about what triggers feelings of frustration or anger or worthlessness or defeat. Really, really recognize those things and take some action. For instance, is the news making you anxious? Is the news feeding your anxiety? Here, turn it off. Change the channel. So much of it is just the same stuff over and over again, isn't it? And it feeds the fear. It feeds the anxiety. It feeds the worry so often. Now, it's good to touch base once in a while and get an update about something. We want to know what's going on that really matters. But you know what? So much of it is just negative stuff. It just fills our hearts and minds with negativity and anxiety. Is it the internet? Are there sites you're visiting, videos you're watching, people you're following that are feeding your anxiety? Take a step back and really ask yourself, is that what's happening? As it is, choose to log on to another website. It's not that hard. Choose to do that. Well, which ones? There's plenty to choose from. A lot of very good, encouraging, God-honoring, spirit-lifting places that you can go. So make some choices about that. Could it be that the people you're hanging out with are contributing to anxiety? Could it be that that's all they talk about? And once again, is what could be, what might be, what they're afraid is going to happen. Maybe even saying, well, I read this, I saw this, especially on the internet. And you know, maybe, you know, I'm not saying be rude, but maybe you could take a step back too. And if you need some earplugs, you need to be around them, but you need some earplugs, I have some. Okay? Contact me. Let me know. I'll give you some. That might help. Now again, I'm not saying again be rude or unkind, but we got to be careful about, we talk about the kids being influenced. Aren't we influenced? So many times, even by our peers, we might need to be making some conscious choices about that. What I'm talking about here is practicing gratitude. And to practice gratitude, you first of all got to stop practicing the things, again, that are just feeding that anxiety. Now we're going to feed the gratitude. Practice that. Well, how do you do that? Focus again on what you have to be thankful for. Now, it may take some conscious effort. And maybe it's just, again, to pause again, as I said before, to stop and stop rushing through things and just pause and look around. I paused in front of the piano at our house the other morning, and an overwhelming sense of gratitude welled up within me. Now, it may surprise you because no one at our house plays it, but displayed upon it are many of our family photos. I just found myself look at photos of my children and my grandchildren, my brothers and my sisters, and some nieces and nephews. And wow, I just, oh my, I'm so blessed. I am so blessed. Are you thankful for your family? Are you thankful for your family? Maybe you've not been very thankful because you've not been able to be with some of them like you'd like to. But be thankful you can communicate with them on any level. And take advantage of that. And thank God for them. Believing too that, you know what, this is a period of time that will pass. And that you will be with them. You'll be with them. And if they're in Jesus, and you're in Jesus, one day you'll be with them eternally. Right? And praise God for that. Be thankful for that. Now, be thankful for your friends and family as well. Do that. Take some time to just think about those people who are blessing your life, those relationships, and thank God for them He's the one who grants you those relationships. Now, maybe you're a person, though, that you think, well, I don't have much family anymore. Some of the older folks, particularly, that I know and love, many of their siblings are gone, their parents are gone. Some of them even outlived their own children. And that can be a very, very dark place, a place of despair and sadness and grief. But you know what I have found with them? The majority of them, particularly if they have this hope in Christ, this belief in God, this trust in the Good Shepherd and the Lord of heaven, they can still be grateful and thankful. And they are so often an encouragement to me about that. A drive in the country a few weeks ago reminded me of the beauty of God's creation, and my heart gravitated towards gratitude. Now, for you folks out there, if you haven't done that yet, the window may be closing quickly, if it's not already closed, to see all those wonderful fall colors. But you know what? There's much beauty still to be seen everywhere around you if you open your eyes to it. And thank God for it. Thank God for it. When our 2005 Vibe with 245,000 miles starts, when I turn the key, guess what? I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He has been so faithful, so good to keep that thing running. Amazing. He's done for me like he did for the children in the wilderness. It'll make those sandals last. So many times he's blessed me that way. And I'm serious. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Be thankful for the things you have, the luxuries in life, that you even have a vehicle or you have a device or you have something. We want the latest and greatest so much of the time. And we can, you know, not be thankful for what we have because of what we want, you know, that we think would be so much better. But we need to be thankful first for what we have. Matter of fact, I wonder sometimes, I think I've expressed this before, if maybe our prayers aren't being answered because we're not approaching with thanksgiving. Isn't that what Paul said? We're not approaching with a thankfulness for what we already have. We're saying, God, replace this. Give me something else. Give me something different. So I'm so thankful for what I have, Lord. I'd like to upgrade. If you'd bless me in that, I'll use it in your glory and service. But be thankful for what we have, whatever it is. God's good. Last week, another one of my doctors, I've seen my doctors, had a few visits during this time where, you know, you either got to do it online, but I've gone to see a few of them as well. And every one of them has said that I'm doing so well that they don't need to see me for months, if not a year. Praise God for the health you have. Maybe you've not always been healthy. But if you're healthy enough even to be listening in today, be paying attention, to tuning in, then praise God that you have that ability, that presence of mind, that the health that you have. Be thankful for what health we have. Again, use it for His glory. We need to do that. Hallelujah and praise the Lord springs from my heart whenever I get the news that some prayers that I've offered on behalf of someone else have been answered. And that has happened this week. There's a couple of situations I've been praying about for weeks, trusting and believing, but the good news, the praise report came this week. Hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But so often we're not thankful until it happens. We need to be thankful as we're petitioning, remember? Thankful as we're petitioning, believing again that God is going to intervene. He's going to do something mighty and majestic that will bring glory to His name and be a blessing. We need to believe that, trust that. And we need to be thankful even after it happens because so often we say, well, thank you, Lord, that was great. Walk away and forget. We need to continue to maintain this thankfulness in our heart. If you're having trouble with feelings of gratitude today because your heart is filled with worry, anxiety, and fear, pray for God to flush that gunk out and refresh you with reminders of what all He has done for you, which kind of brings us around to that idea, right? Count your blessings. Count your blessings. So many people think they have a very short list, though. I've seen this thing on Facebook where it was like 30 days of gratitude. People were supposed to post each day for 30 days things that they were grateful for. I think that's a good exercise. I think it's a wonderful exercise. I appreciated people doing it. And so many things fell down in those categories of friends and family and faith. But still, thankful for things. Count your blessings. Some people think, though, they've got a very short list there. You know, there's not that many things they can think of to be thankful for. If that's the case, count them twice. Count them twice. Or really look at them seriously and realize just how special and important and wonderful those blessings are. And count them close. If you think nothing's on your list, look again. God loves you. He sent His Son to give His life for you. And if that was the only thing on your list, and I doubt very seriously if it is, if it was the only thing, at the end of time, it's the only thing that's going to count anyway. It's the only thing that counts eternally. And when we grab hold of that truth, what Paul promises in verse 7 becomes a reality. We just read verse 6. Verse 7. He says, when we do this, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, which makes no sense in a physical plane, will cause people to scratch their heads in wonder. That peace of God will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. What do you mean, Paul? Guard our hearts and minds. Against what? Anxiety. Worry. Fears. No matter what we're faced with. Isn't that the context? Do you need your heart and mind guarded? Pray with thankfulness, with gratitude. And find your mind being refreshed, restored, your heart being lifted, and the anxiety dissipating. Now, will that be forever, one and done? No. No, it's in the scripture so often, this encouragement to don't worry, don't be afraid, don't fret, that our human nature is to gravitate back to that. But the nature that God gives us with His Spirit is a nature that can overcome all of that. Jesus overcame the world. Faith can overcome the world. It can overcome all of these things. We have to trust and believe in it. I've shared this story before, but I'll share it very briefly and we'll close. The praise team can actually come up now if they'd like. Is that many years ago, I was just, I think, maybe 19 years old. Wasn't out of high school very long. I was working in a paper mill. I was having a horrible day, just a horrible day. And there was this fellow that I worked with, but I didn't really know him very well, knew him to speak to him. He was always going around with a big smile on his face, singing. A lot of times you didn't know what he was singing, but it was just, you know, it was kind of melodious. It was upbeat. It was nice. And I was just really having a horrible day. And he came by and he says, "What's going on?" And I said, and I just vented, you know. And I said, "Well, what have you got to be so happy about?" He said, "I've got my eternity to take care of. Why am I worried about today?" What a perspective. And I've thought about that so many times. When we have our eternity taken care of, when we have our faith and trust in Jesus, when we have that kind of confidence and knowing, that security, then, boy, we can be finding joy and gratitude in every situation and circumstance. The song that was being played after that was "Don't Worry, Be Happy." You remember that ditty? Well, I'd say don't worry, be thankful. Great is God's faithfulness, so great should be our thankfulness. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for this opportunity to be together, for us to learn of your word, to be encouraged by it. We pray, Father, that you'd be with any that are out there today, and I know there are many who are out there today who are overwhelmed with anxiety and fears right now. There's so many things troubling them. But as Jesus said, don't let our hearts be troubled, but trust in you and trust in him. And we can find peace that passes understanding in those times. Father, we are praying. We're thankful so much for all that you have done and are doing. We're thankful for the blessings that we, as we sang earlier, we maybe don't even see. We don't recognize. God, open our eyes to see them. The things that you're doing, the way you're working in ways that we're just not even aware of. Being thankful, God, that you are a God who loves us and has proven it over and over again. Father, again, we're praying and believing with gratitude that you can give us this peace that passes understanding. In Jesus' name, and amen.